Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whatever time it might be. This is Alyssa. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Great. Let's just keep it one more minute. It looks like we still
yes,
have some people.
Yes, hi. Hi, boy.
Paul.
Russ Mundy.
Joined.
Elise Garrick.
Joined.
Russ Housley.
Joined.
Ulrich.
Joined.
Okay, sounds like we have a bunch of questions and a few minutes after the hour for you to get started. I will try to speak up. People said I sounded a little this is Elsa. Thanks, everyone, for joining the call today. As usual, we'll do the roll call based on the Adobe Connect room. But do we have anyone who is on the phone but not in the Adobe Connect room? Okay, sounds like everyone is in the Adobe Connect room, so that's great. So you can see the agenda for today's call. We have the minutes to approve from last time, and then we're going to spend the bulk of the hour talking about the CWG name proposal and the potential implications for the other two proposals. I'd like to have a discussion of if there's anything that we need to do from a coordination standpoint to help get early feedback for the CWG. And then we will have a bit of a chat about the future call schedule if Patrick is on, which I think he is. So that's the agenda that we have planned for today. Jean-Jacques, I see you have a hand raised. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. Hello, all. This is Jean-Jacques. About the approval of the minutes for the 8th of April, I just wanted to make sure that Secretariat had, in fact, integrated the change version I just had popped up, which was item 3, I think, action item 3, which was that Larelle and I adhered to draft a piece of paper, and Lisa's remark was that the Secretariat contribution in the form of a table was already very explicit and very useful. So Narelle and I consulted, and we agree with Lisa's point of view, so we are withdrawing the necessity to draft anything at this stage. And we are asking Secretariat to make sure that later additional elements can be added. So could Secretariat just confirm that little point?
Hi, Jean-Jacques. This is Jennifer Chung from the Secretariat. I confirm that I have changed the action item as requested. That has been sent to the ICG mailing list. I have not changed the action item on the actual minutes of the April 8th call. If you would like me to do that, I can do that as well.
This is Alyssa. I think it would be fine to add a note in the minutes that says that we later revised the action item. So that you can see what we talked about, but then also the fact that we were...
Yes, this is Jean-Jacques. I would... Yes, Alyssa, I agree with your suggestion. I think it would be added clarity to have it also mentioned in the minutes. And thank you, Jennifer.
This is Jennifer. Noted both. I will do that.
Thank you. Kavus.
Good day, good time, everyone. I have a comment with respect to the minutes of day one on page three. At the top of the page, first bullet, Aras also stated his disagreement. I want to amend that Aras expressed his doubt about the statement. It's not disagreement, it's doubt. Expressed or stated his doubt, or it's better say expressed his doubt with respect to the statement from. So I had some doubt, and still I have that doubt. So this is not disagreement, but it is doubt. Thank you.
Sorry, could you explain which bullet point you're referring to? I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, I said that the day one, and on page three, the top of the page,
we approved those already earlier in the week. So those have already been posted. The ones that we're looking at today are from the previous call, April 8th. But the secretariat can make that amendment to the ones that have already been posted. Is that okay, Jennifer?
This is Jennifer. Yes, that is okay. I will go ahead and make that change and confirm with Mr. Araste that it's correct.
Thank you.
So the set of minutes that we have for approval today are from the our last call on April 8th. These have been out on the mailing list for a little while. So the question is whether anyone objects to approving these minutes today. Paul Wilson, go ahead. Any objections from anyone to approving the April 8th minutes? Okay. And we consider the April 8th minutes to be approved. And now we can move on to the discussion of the CWC proposal, which Martin has kindly volunteered to give us an overview and his perspective. So take it away, Martin.
Thanks very much, Alyssa. I need to flag up, first of all, that we haven't got yet, but are expecting fairly shortly, a version of the document that will then go out to consultation, we expect by close of play today. And the document, the most recent document, version 3.4, which came out today, was one of a series that came out in quick succession just before and then after a two-day intensive work. The plan that you've got up in front of you at the moment in the Adobe room is a rough outline of what we see as the model which will be used to underpin the proposal from the cross-community working group. And while it's based within ICANN, there will be a legal separation between ICANN and the IANA functions operator, now baptized the post-transition IANA, PTI. The concept that is that, and by the way, I'm getting a certain amount of echo in my ear. I'm not sure whether there's somebody who's not on mute. The concept of the PTI is that it would be an affiliate, a subsidiary of ICANN, and that in the case of a breakdown of the service being provided by the post-transition IANA, the IANA function could be re-tendered, but the ownership right of the IANA functions would remain with ICANN as being the contracting party, in this case ICANN taking the role of the NTIA. Around this two-body structure, there are a number of essentially accountability and contract monitoring bodies. At the bottom right, we've got the Customer Standing Committee, the CSC, which would do the normal monitoring of the progress of the contract, looking out for areas where service level commitments were not being met, looking at areas where there was perhaps a growth in the number of complaints coming in, and its primary role would be in working with the post-transition IANA to resolve those issues. If it found eventually that it was impossible to resolve those issues, and remember here we're talking about the names functions, that the CSC would be able to report those unresolved problems to the CCNSO and or the GNSO, who could then decide on further steps. The second body, which is in the middle of the page, the PRF, the Periodic Review Function, this would be essentially the mechanism for monitoring the overall performance of the function operator, look for things that might need to be improved, look forward to changing environment and so on. And this periodic review function would meet every 5 years and would be along the same lines as the affirmation of commitment reviews, but would be embodied in an ICANN bylaw. The PRF would report to the IANA board, and the IANA board would have the responsibility for implementing recommendations from the PRF, and would then use that to adjust its contract with the post-transition IANA. The CCNSO and or GNSO could require the there to be a special report, in other words, one that was out of sequence, that was then looking specifically at issues that have either come from the CSC or from the community. And in both cases, in the case of this, if the review showed action that needed to be taken and ICANN did not take it, then the CCNSO and or the GNSO would report up to the accountability mechanisms currently in discussion in the cross-community working group on ICANN enhanced accountability. So that is the overall framework of the design of the model and the way that it would interact with the different bodies, I think, with the multi-stakeholder community, I think has generally been outlined in Milton's quick and summary note on progress and on the implications of that. I think for us now, there are a number of sort of areas of question that Milton highlights and that I think the ICG needs to start thinking about. Firstly, it's the initial thoughts on the compatibility of the general framework that the CWG names has come up with, and Milton identifies ways in which that might happen. In particular, in his paragraph 2.1.1 and 2.1.2, he discusses the options for the IETF and the numbers operating communities be engaged with, and that then is whether they engage with the post-transition IANA subsidiary or directly with the ICANN owner of it. While Milton has come out with three approaches to that and recommends one particular solution, I still think it is going to be something quite necessary for us and in particular for the other operating communities to consider how they will respond to that and which solution will work for them. And in particular, I think part of that is going to be for the operational communities and for the ICG to think a little bit more in detail about the relationship lines between their solutions and the solution put forward for names, and in particular whether the changes brought about by the names community, in particular with the changing role of ICANN and the separate role of the IANA functions operator, as to where they would then have their MOU or other contractual relationship. The third point, I think, is something that isn't in either the paper or in the organigram that's on the screen in front of you, and that is about authorizations. The CWG has agreed that the authorization function of the NTIA for the names community would no longer be needed, but we are still struggling a bit with who would then authorize changes of a more structural nature, significant innovatory changes, things that led to changes in architecture, things along the lines of the introduction of DNSSEC, for example. We have got some words that are in place for dealing with that, but no final identification of who would authorize and how they would authorize any such changes. I think the last point I make is that the consultation more generally will go out towards the end of today, and will be open for 28 days. In other words, it will end on, is it the 21st of May, which then is just 4 weeks before the ICANN meeting. So during this period, obviously, we will be expecting quite a lot of comments coming in. I would hope that we would get input from those who've been involved with the CRISP work and of the IANA plan work. At the end of the consultation period, we've then, as I say, got 4 weeks to pull forward final proposal, which should be presented to the ICG on the Thursday of the ICANN week as our latest. And that also needs to go through an approvals process with the chartering organisations for the cross-community working group. And we're aware of certain problems in that process as well. That's my sort of general introduction. As I say, I think for today I would welcome hearing thoughts from colleagues on the issues that they think might be need some sort of immediate and early exchange between the numbers and protocol parameter teams, any thoughts that people might have on the various relationships that those communities might need to have with the various elements of the hybrid model that the NAMES community have come up with. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martin. That was very helpful. I'd like to ask first if people have clarification questions for Martin, anything about his explanation of the proposal that they didn't understand. If we can start with those. So I see three hands raised. If those hands are up for clarifying questions, then leave them up. If they're not, then put them down. And we'll come back to you in a second, but I just want to make sure that we get the clarifying questions out first. And I have one of my own. I will put myself in the queue at the end. So I see Daniel. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Daniel. Thank you very much, Martin, for this nice introduction. I have a pretty simple question. In the discussions of the CWG, was there any expectation that the other operational communities would sort of directly be involved in this whole scheme? For instance, in the diagram that we're seeing, there's like three circles for direct customers. You know, that may be a coincidence, but I'm just wondering whether any of that discussion has happened. Otherwise, sort of my first glance at this doesn't seem to see any incompatibilities. If this PTI is set up, then the other operational communities could just interface with it as well, so that would actually work. Is that the intention? So that's my question.
Can I take this one immediately, Alyssa?
Yes, yes. Please feel free to respond directly to all the questions.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel. That's actually a very useful question. there's been a certain, because obviously the work that we have put in has been done almost exclusively with the naming community, and nobody has felt that we have any ability to speak for the other communities. However, as Milton's paper makes clear, he doesn't think that there is any particular incompatibility, there would be, I think, a certain number of things that would need to be probably augmented. So, for example, while we haven't got yet to a decision on what the board of the post-transition IANA should look like, this is now the heart of dealing with all of the IANA functions, I would expect to see some input from the other communities in the shaping of the board. Similarly, reporting persistent and unresolved problems, if that was sensible for other communities to have a similar problem-resolving interface with the post-transition IANA, then firstly the CSC would probably need to be augmented with the right skills and representatives, and it would also need to have an option for reporting up persistent and unresolved issues, whether to the ITF, whether to the numbering community, needs to be decided. And then those communities, whether they would maintain their current relationships with ICANN, or whether they would follow the IANA functions operator and therefore have their relationship with the post-transition IANA, I think is one of those questions that needs to be resolved. On the face of it, I can't see any real reason why there should be a barrier from the model for doing this. I think it is more a matter of, does it work when we try to do it to meet the objectives of each community? Does that fully answer your question, Daniel?
Well, for the time being, yes. And I'm just personally, just for 1 second, I would envisage that this CSC stuff and so on is an AIMS thing, and the other proposals have similar elements, so I don't think we should model those, but that's just, you know, my first impression.
Thank you. Michael, go ahead.
Thank you. Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. My question is, regards the contractual relationships. The traditional model was that the customer communities have a contractual relationship with ICANN. Now, in the case of the names community, is there a contractual relationship, or how is the legal relationship constructed, and with whom? To guarantee levels of service or obligations. Are the obligations in a contractual form, or is it an undertaking by the PETI or whichever? Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Yes, again, a very useful question. For the names community, quite frankly, it's all a bit of a mess, really, because the GTLDs have contracts with ICANN, and that part of the relationship would stay in place. A very small number of CCTLDs have got contracts with ICANN, and likewise, I would expect that to stay in place. But as you say, both of these would now become customers of the post-transition IANA, and I have yet to see any argument as to what that exact contractual relationship is, and whether part of the relationship in the existing contracts would have to be devolved from ICANN into the post-transition IANA. Not being a lawyer, I will have to sit and wait until somebody spells that one out to me. There's a bigger problem, and that is for the vast majority of CCTLDs that do not have any contractual relationship or even any relationship with ICANN, there's no anticipation that any of these will need to change their relationship with ICANN or with the IANA, but that there would remain an obligation applied by ICANN on the post-transition IANA, that the post-transition IANA would continue to provide a service to CCTLDs that are not members of ICANN, or that do not have any form of relationship with ICANN, and even for those which might well not be funding the IANA functions directly themselves. Yes, all a bit of a mess, but all the existing relationships would need to be honoured. Does that meet all of your questions, Michael?
Thank you, Martin. As far as there is still, of course, as you rightly pointed out, quite some need for clarification. And that has also then to do with the compatibility question. But for the moment, I take it as sufficient. Thanks.
Thank you. Yari.
Yes, hello, this is Yari for the minutes. I want to say a couple of things. I wanted to go back to Daniel's question. Our assumption from the ICA perspective is that we want to keep our own mechanisms. Doesn't rule out participation in some board somewhere, but such participation would not make our contracts and accountability tools unnecessary. So we will have our own contract, our means of changing and or terminating the contract and so forth. We'd be happy to work with the PDI structure as well, but just wanted to make that point clear. And then the other point was that the initial feeling, at least on my side, is that, and I'm still collecting data, but it seems that the PTI structure is reasonably well compatible with our proposals. As I think Milton noted in his email, that the IETF generally does not want to renegotiate our contracts, and that's true. I think we should be able to hold our existing contracts. So just for the record, the existing contracts are between IETF and ICANN. And then the actual people who do the work are the IANA department. So it's actually an analogous situation with future, if this model goes forward. But there's a subcontractor internally. We contract with ICANN, but the people who actually do it and are empowered to do it are the PTI. I think that's doable without changing anything between IETF and ICANN from an initial perspective. And the third thing I wanted to mention is that as I read Milton's email for the list on section 212, he speaks about the numbers proposal, and but he also makes this general point here that when there are negotiations between, for instance, the CRISP team and the ICANN, then at least we from the ICT have viewed ourselves as an ending services consensus proposals from the operational community and does not try to alter them. And Milton makes the point that we should actually require the same from ICANN. And I very much agree with Milton's point here. And I think it's been very clear all along that the time to affect any proposal is when it's being formed in the communities and not after the fact. So that's important. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Yari. So I would like to make sure that we have all of the clarifying questions out of the way. Sounds like we sort of transitioned into a broader discussion, which is okay if everyone got their questions answered. So I see a few of hands. Again, if you have a clarifying question, I think we can take one more or two more if people still have those. But if not, we can move on. I did have one clarifying question, so maybe I'll ask that and then we can sort of switch to the broader discussion, which is whether the names proposal, Martin, speaks to this issue that we had discussed earlier with the other communities about the IPR in the trademark for IANA and IANA.org. Is there any mention of what happens with that in the eventuality that there could be a separate operator or a successor?
Thank you. Everything's gone very quiet. Can people hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Alyssa and Yari. If I can sort of go through Yari's points, his first one about keeping existing mechanisms and remaining with the contract and the way of dealing with the contract and the way of monitoring the contract. I think we, right the way through this, have just said this is what we would want to do. We don't think there's anything incompatible with things that are coming up from the other communities. And certainly I don't think we would see it as being for us to tell other communities what their relationship should be and whether the relationship should change between IETF and ICANN or IETF and the post-transition IANA is something that I think the IETF has to work out. Because obviously that could have some spin-off on where you're engaging in accountability of actions. But it is recognized that other communities might well decide at some stage in the future that they wanted to separate from the wider grouping. There's nothing in our proposal that goes against that. As for your point, Alyssa, on the IPR, yes, there was a small team that sat down and worked on IPR. I think at the end of the day it didn't make any direct conclusions but said that some further work was going to be needed. I wasn't following it very carefully, I have to admit, and so I can't remember exactly what the conclusion was. There has been a discussion, and I can hunt out that discussion at some stage after this call and send round the reference to it. I'm sorry, I can't go further just off the cuff like that.
Okay, thank you, Martin. I was just kind of mentally trying to make a list of, items that we might want to point out to the other communities, and that that might be one of them if this proposal speaks to that. Okay, so I think Daniel has a clarifying question, and then we will open up to broader discussion. So go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, Martin, you said in passing, sort of in the side remark, that the final stage when of approval before sending this over to us might meet some difficulties. And I think, if I remember correctly, you said we know about them. Would you like to care telling us a bit more about that specifically, how that might affect the timeline? And if you don't want to say anything, then fine.
No, I'm sorry, Daniel. I'm not quite sure I remember where I said that. If I did, certainly I was not intending to highlight the fact that we were having difficulties. I think we are fairly much in agreement on the approach, that it is quite a consensual document, and we're not actually seeing any specific reasons why what we're proposing would fail to meet or fail to be able to match up to interface with the other application, the other proposals. So I'm not quite sure what I said that sparked you to think otherwise. I obviously said something slightly wrong.
Fault is entirely mine in not listening carefully, probably.
Okay. Russ Mundy, go ahead with your clarifying question.
Thanks, Alyssa. The first question that I had, and I have to apologize, I've not followed the CWG work as closely as I really would have liked to, but in developing the response to the ICG, could you say a few words, Martin, about how closely it tracks to the RFP we put out, in particular the Section 1, Section 2 activities where they're asking about describing what goes on, and both currently and how they envision it afterwards. Because what I'm seeing on the diagram and all the discussion is almost exclusively to deal with accountability activities and very little to nothing about the ongoing functional running activities. Could you say a few words about whether or not that's addressed in the written proposal, Martin?
Thanks, Russ. Yes, it's a standard failing of mine that you spend all your time on the bits that have given you most difficulty and forget to even mention the stuff where there was a reasonably good degree of agreement. The reason that most of my intervention was on the accountability was because that's where most of our discussion has been. But in fact, first two sections occupy currently, I think it's 11 pages, no, 9 pages, plus an annex. Of the final proposal, they go through and address point by point, and there are then a certain number of other things that, as we move into the proposal, we continually go back and say, this is currently being done, does it stay like this? Does it need to be amended? So, for example, a fairly obvious one which isn't completed yet is on service levels. where essentially we're saying that the service levels need to be at least what they are at the moment, and there needs to be a mechanism for amending them as we move forward, but that there are certain service levels that need to be reconsidered now before the transition. And so there is also that link through very much on an operational basis. So the fact I didn't mention it was because actually, A, this was done quite a long time ago, and B, it was done with very little controversy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martin. And I guess the other, it's maybe a, more of a comment than a question, if in fact we have distinct and separate both accountability kinds of activities and legal arrangements between the three major operational communities, it looks like that has made our job in the ICG more challenging to do both an assessment and reach a conclusion as to whether or not this does result in incompatibilities or not, or if it will function in that separate way. So I think that's something we all need to think about.
Yeah, that certainly, Russ, is a point that has been very high in our own minds, and why I think Milton spent a certain amount of time trying to identify that interface. It's certainly one of the reasons why we've been keen to make sure that we do have this initial discussion with the wider ICG, because these are things that I hope that when people read the report, the proposal, when it comes out later today or early tomorrow, depending on what time zone you're in, that you will be using the time to think very carefully about where there might be issues on implementation. But it's a point very well taken. Thank you.
Thanks. This is Alyssa. So keeping in mind that we have about 10 minutes left to continue this discussion, I think this has been really useful. I do want to key off of what Russ said and kind of bring this back to what the ICG's role is here and how we can, you know, helpfully move along this process so that, you know, in the near future we end up with a complete proposal that is consistent across the three communities. And so my question is really, I think, about two different roles that we could play. One is to collect this list of issues and questions that the other two communities might want to think about and comment on during the public comment period. And we've already started to do that both with, I think, Milton's memo and on this call. So, you know, these issues regarding the contracting, you know, with ICANN versus with the PTI, the composition of the PTI board, some of these architectural issues that Martin talked about, authorization of new features and functionality in IANA. I would add the IPR issue to that list, and there might be others. So I would like to hear people's thoughts about whether they think we could, on relatively short order, say, you know, within, I would hope, maybe less than a week, just produce an informal list of questions and issues that we could send to the IETF and the RIRs to flag for them. You know, there's a 28-day comment period going on right now. Your input about these things would be useful for the whole process, that, you know, to send a message like that. And I'm happy to work on that if we have the will in this group to do that. I've heard informally from folks in some of the other communities that having that might be helpful, given that the CWG proposal itself is a bit complex. So that's one question. And then the other one is one that Wolf Ulrich raises in the chat room, which is a very good question, which is, whether we as the ICG want to try and do a preliminary assessment of the proposal during the public comment period we already know what our proposal assessment framework looks like, so we could look at this draft version and try to provide some feedback to the CWG if we see items in there that that we think would get caught up in our assessment process later. So that's the second question for this group, is whether we want to do that, and if we do, then we need some people who would be willing to review the document and start a discussion amongst ourselves about whether we have input to provide to the CWG. So I know we have a long queue of people who wanted to make comments. If you can respond to those two questions briefly in your comments as well, that would be excellent. So we have, and please keep it short since we're running really low on time. So first we have Paul Wilson. Go ahead.
Alyssa? Hello? Alyssa? Please. Alyssa, please listen to me.
I can hear you.
From 3 o'clock, my hand is raised. You have not given me the floor. Please put in the statement. Qaboos Araste mentioned that in spite of his continuous request to talk, his time was not given to him.
I'm sorry,
I'm very sorry.
I raised your hand.
You have not given me the floor. I'm very sorry. I apologize. I'm very sorry.
Okay, I have... In my queue, I see Paul Wilson, then Michael Niebel, then Qaboos Araste, and then Joe Alhadef. I don't know if you're having problems with Adobe Connect, but that's the ordering that I see. So go ahead, Paul. Thanks.
You're giving me the floor?
I have Paul Wilson
up
first in the queue. I don't know if Paul wants to speak. If he doesn't want to speak, then the next person that I see is...
No, I want to speak whenever you give me the floor. I'm waiting for your green light. Can I talk?
So I have Paul Wilson in the queue, but if he doesn't want to speak, then we will go to Qaboos. So
yes, I want to speak. Yeah. I'm sorry, I want to speak. Alyssa, I would have expected that would have allowed me to make this statement. At the beginning of last night's CCWG, we asked the chairman of the CWG, the co-chair, whether they have sent ICG any document. They said that no document has been sent to ICG yet. They are going to put something on the public comment. I would have expected that like CCWG, you would have invited the co-chair of CWG to present the draft output rather than anyone else, because what I heard today is contradicting. Martin said that ICANN would assume the current role of NTIA. Yes, he was true in the document of 4th of April. But in the document published or going to be published, a draft by the CWG, it is mentioned that the Customer Standing Committee on page 22 has been established to perform the appropriate requirement previously performed by U.S. Department of Commerce. So who will do that then? The problem is that two contradicting. The document that referred to by Martin has no status. That is the memorandum of the legal advisor to the CWG. The document is valid, is the output of the CWG. So I would have expected you invited the CWG co-chair to come and present this document, present the outputs, but not someone else, because it might be misunderstanding, misinterpretation, personal interpretations. This is what is possible to do.
Thank you. I take your input into how we should structure the calls. Personally, I tend to think that it's not only the chair of any group who is capable of understanding the work that they have put in, and I thought Martin provided a very useful summary. I think his point was that in terms of who holds a contract with IANA, ICANN will be holding the contract with the PTI, and in that sense, they're replacing the NTIA because NTIA currently holds the contract with ICANN, which has the IANA department. But we can, if we want to, you know, continue the discussion of who should speak about which topic, we can, I think, do that on the mailing list. So in my queue now, I see Joe, Jean-Jacques, and Alan Barrett. Paul, if you want to get back in the queue, we can put you in there, and then we're going to have to close the queue. So go ahead, Joe.
Alyssa, I don't remember the order of your questions, but your question on should we take a crack at, you know, at a minimum providing feedback to the draft that we're going to receive on whether it meets the requirements of our RFP. I think part of our RFP evaluation process is to provide input as soon as possible. So if it's even to a draft proposal, it's helpful because it takes cycles out of the process. The question I would have is, should we ask the two other communities to provide us any feedback they have on where they might see any conflict with the proposals they have provided? Because that would also help eliminate some cycles.
Yeah, so Joe, my thinking was that they could send that feedback directly to the CWG, but certainly it would be helpful for us to receive it as well. So good point. And it seems that we have a major problem with the queue, because now I don't see anyone else's hand up, and I know that we had people in the queue previously who have been waiting. So I'm not sure what's going on with Adobe Connect. So I think the next person we had was Jean-Jacques, and I see Alan had his question in the chat as well. So why don't we go to Jean-Jacques, and we will try to resolve what is going on with the queue. Thanks.
Thank you, Alyssa. This is Jean-Jacques. My remark actually is a bit wider than that and does not respond to any of the points made by Martin in his excellent presentation. It's a general remark about jurisdiction, because when I hear his explanations and when I look at the chart or the diagram which is in front of us on the screen, it's very striking to see that arrangements which are envisaged, for instance, the creation of a board of PTI, for understandable reasons, that would be maintained in one single jurisdiction, which is, of course, the USA under California law, because it would be a department or a subsidiary of ICANN. That stands to reason. Now, my remark simply to all of us to keep in mind for the future, for the coming months, that if and when the question does come up on a wider scale of jurisdiction, then perhaps we could think about proposing that there are two other levels of responsibility which could become more international, perhaps in a different jurisdiction from the U.S. Legal system, and that would be the PRF and or the CSC, because I think there would be a lot of merit in having this kind of oversight body constituted, say, under Swiss law in Geneva, for instance, which would give it much wider acceptability around the world. And not having operational responsibilities, which, of course, the PTI would have. So that was just a thought for the future. It is not a reaction directly to the so far. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. So given the problems that we have had with you and the fact that we are now going to run overtime, I think we can close this discussion and we should take the remaining outstanding items to the mailing list. So please, if you didn't get your question answered during this session, please send it to the list, and we can have that discussion there. I will also try to tee up the list of potential questions and issues that we might want to send to the other communities so we can see if we can come to some conclusion on that and get that out shortly. Thank you very much to everyone for this, and in particular to Martin for briefing us all. And we will look for the proposal that actually goes out for public comment later today. So just quickly, moving on to the last agenda item, the future call schedule. We are not planning to have calls in May because we don't have a lot of work as a group in front of us. We can certainly schedule one if that seems appropriate. And it sounds like, you know, if people come together and want to provide preliminary feedback to the CWG on their proposal before the conclusion of the public comment period, then perhaps it would make sense for us to schedule a call before that public comment period concludes. So if it looks like there's some activity on the mailing list and people do take up the task of reviewing the proposal and does appear to be preliminary feedback that we want to provide, then we can schedule a call at the end of May. But as of now, we were not planning to have calls in May. So that's just for people's information. And then the last item that everyone wanted to confirm was that for our face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires, that we do not plan to take any decisions as regards to the CWG proposal or the complete proposal itself. And as far as I know, that hasn't changed. So we were very likely to discuss the proposal, but we had decided previously that we weren't going to come to any formal conclusions until after the Buenos Aires meeting. So that's my understanding. If anyone else has a different understanding, you should speak up now. Okay, great. So with that, I think we can close the call since we're a little bit over time. Thank you, everyone, for joining today, and we will continue all of this discussion on the mailing list.